Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday. It's December 4th, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. I'm going to begin the first half hour of the broadcast today. Then at 10:30, we're going to be joined by none other than Yonkers Insider, publisher and editor, Delphin Usler. And so we're going to talk to him about the term limits extension and its challenge and a few other things as well. So we've got a lot to cover. Well, let's first reflect back on late President Bush, who lies in state in the U.S. Capitol. Listen to this report. Bear with me a moment. Should get started. One moment.
There. Final trip to Washington. Former President George H.W. Bush was placed in the U.S. Capitol on Monday to lie in state as mourners gathered to commemorate his lifetime of public service. Thousands are expected to file in to pay their respects. Throughout the country, flags flew at half staff. A moment of silence was observed at the New York Stock Exchange, and a Bush family spokesman tweeted a picture of the president's service dog with the phrase, "Mission complete." Bush was a decorated World War II fighter pilot, the head of the CIA, and an ambassador to the UN. Former and current politicians gathered as the casket was placed in the Capitol rotunda. Lawmakers from both sides of the political spectrum laid wreaths on behalf of Congress. The invite-only state funeral on Wednesday will be attended by Trump and former U.S. presidents, along with dozens of foreign leaders, including Germany's Angela Merkel. The casket will then be flown back to Houston, Texas on Thursday for the funeral, before Bush is laid to rest alongside his wife, Barbara, and daughter, Robin.
Tragedy, but an unbelievably large figure, and evidently recognized after a very long time when he was not. So, very, very important. Well, let's just see what else is going on with respect to the United States and China, particularly with regard to trade. Trump says that the U.S.-China ties make a big leap forward, so we'll have to see if that really comes about. U.S. President Trump boasted on Monday that U.S. relations with China have taken a big leap forward following his meeting in Argentina with President Xi Jinping. Very good things will happen, he says. We are dealing with great strength, but China likewise has much to gain if and when a deal is completed. Level the field, he said in a series of early morning tweets. Trump alluded, possibly inadvertently, to the Great Leap Forward, which is Mao Zedong's disastrous campaign to rapidly industrialize China's agrarian economy, which historians believe led to the deaths of tens of millions of people in the Great Chinese Famine. So Trump, who joined Xi in calling a truce on an intensifying trade war between their two powerhouse countries, earlier touted a rollback in Chinese tariffs on U.S. cars. Their dinner meeting in Buenos Aires on Saturday, the two leaders agreed to suspend any new tariffs and give negotiators 90 days to strike a deal, sending stock markets soaring. Quote, "My meeting in Argentina with President Xi of China was an extraordinary one. Relations with China have taken a big leap forward," Trump said. "Farmers will be a very big and fast beneficiary of our deal with China. They intend to start purchasing agricultural product immediately. We make the finest and cleanest product in the world, and that is what China wants. Farmers, I love you," he said. And Trump went on to praise what he said was his, quote, "very strong and personal relationship," end quote, with Xi. "He and I are the only two people that can bring about massive and very positive change on trade and far beyond between our two great nations. A solution to North Korea is a great thing for China and all." So, a very, very intriguing perspective, that's for sure. And let's just quickly look evidently on the 1st of December, the leftist leader, López Obrador, was sworn in as the Mexican president. Andrés Manuel López Obrador, known as AMLA, A-M-L-A, was sworn in as Mexico's next president on Saturday after the anti-establishment won a landslide election victory, promising to transform a country fed up with crime, poverty, and corruption. The leader, widely known by his initials as AMLO, begins his six-year term with strong majorities in both houses of Congress, but has caused market jitters in Latin America's second-largest economy, with a style that some see as authoritarian and radical. Quote, I swear to defend the Constitution of the United Mexican States and its laws, and faithfully and patriotically carry out the post of President of the Republic that the people have entrusted to me, López Obrador said, with his right hand raised before the Congress. López Obrador, or AMLO, is vowing to lead a sweeping transformation after 89 years of government by the same two parties. Not everyone is persuaded by the brand of change he is promising. Critics accuse the sharp-tongued, silver-haired leader of being an authoritarian radical, and Mexican stocks and the peso have plunged in recent weeks. But López Obrador, 65, has an undeniably strong mandate. He won a landslide victory in the July 1 elections, together with large majorities in both houses of Congress for his coalition, led by the party he founded just 4 years ago, the name of the party, Morena. It was the biggest win for any president and the first for a leftist since Mexico transitioned to multi-party democracy in 2000. López Obrador traveled to his swearing-in ceremony in his small white Volkswagen Jetta, making his way through a sea of supporters. José Ángel Mejía, 38, was in the crowd outside the lower house to fete the new president. It's a historic day. I still can't believe it, he said, raising his 8-year-old son's arm in the air in celebration. We're going to have a change at last. After the ceremony, López Obrador planned to go to Mexico City's central square, the Zócalo, for a second ceremony. Unlike any presidential inauguration in Mexican history, he will receive an indigenous chieftain staff as shamans perform a purification ritual with incense and flowers. The new president inherits a sticky set of problems with his unpopular predecessor, Enrique Peña Nieto. They include endemic corruption, gruesome violence fueled by the war on drug cartels, and a caravan of 6,000 Central American migrants camped at the U.S.-Mexican border, not to mention the minefield that diplomacy with Mexico's giant northern neighbor has become under President Donald Trump. López Obrador, a former protest leader and Mexico City mayor, has been short on specifics regarding his plans for all of the above. What he is promising first and foremost is a presidency like no other. Vowing to lead his anti-corruption, pro-austerity drive by example, he has turned the presidential residence into a cultural center, plans to sell the presidential jet and fly commercial instead, plans to cut his own salary by 60%, and has eliminated the presidential security detail. A massive crowd of supporters is expected at the chieftain's staff ceremony, where, in between a series of concerts by famous musicians, López Obrador will give a second speech from the National Palace. The long disused seat of power is where the new president plans to install his offices, sending a message on the kind of change he represents. The palace, with a history that dates to Aztec times and walls covered in murals by iconic painters and communist Diego Rivera, is a far cry from the current presidential headquarters, Los Pinos, a sprawling complex that sits in a leafy park isolated from the bustle of the capital. A host of regional presidents, King Felipe VI of Spain, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence, accompanied by his boss's daughter and advisor, Ivanka Trump. President Trump, who is at the G20 summit in Argentina, has struck up a surprisingly warm relation with Lopez Obrador. Though the migrant caravan threatens to interrupt that honeymoon, the American president is pressuring Lopez Obrador to accept a deal to keep asylum-seeking migrants in Mexico while their claims are processed in the United States. Lopez Obrador's foreign minister, Marcelo Ebrard, is due in Washington on Sunday for talks on the issue with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Very, very compelling issue as well. Now let's see what's been going on. Bear with me a moment. I want to just check. Yep, I want to just make sure what's going on with the crisis in France. There have been demonstrations for quite a while. Bear with me a moment, and I want to talk to you about that. Bear with me a second here. Evidently, the government has retreated, at least for a six-month hiatus. So we'll see if that will work. The French Prime Minister has announced the suspension of the fuel tax hikes. French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe announced today a suspension of fuel tax increases planned for January 1 in a move to end violent yellow vest protests against the measure. French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe on Tuesday today suspended planned increases in three taxes on fuel for a six-month period starting January 1 in response to nationwide protests against high pump prices and living costs. You'd have to be deaf or blind not to see it or hear it, Philippe said in an address. The French who have donned yellow vests want taxes to drop and work to pay. That's also what we want. If I didn't manage to explain it, if the ruling majority didn't manage to convince the French, then something must change. So evidently, that's where we are with that issue. And that will probably just cool things down, which is very, very important. Now let's see what else is happening on another plane, which is interesting. And this is with respect to Qatar. Qatar plans to quit OPEC from next year as relations with its Arab neighbors sour, ending its near six-decade-long membership of the oil price cartel. The Emirates oil minister said the decision to leave the group of big oil exporting countries had been made after Qatar reviewed the ways it could enhance its role abroad while shifting the focus of the country towards gas. Four Arab states, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Egypt, have imposed a trade and travel embargo on Qatar since the last year over allegations that it supports terrorism. However, Saad Al-Kaabi, Qatar's oil minister, insisted that the decision to quit OPEC, which the country joined in 1961, was not linked to the boycott. Qatar, the biggest exporter of liquefied natural gas, is among the smallest oil producers in the group, pumping 609,000 barrels a day, Research Arms October report. Mr. Kaabi said that the country was seeking to increase liquid natural gas production from 77 million to 110 million tons a year. The oil price surged yesterday after the U.S. and China agreed a 90-day truce in their trade war, agreeing at a weekend meeting in Buenos Aires, Argentina, of the G20 not to impose additional trade tariffs. And Brent crude oil was up 4% at just above $61 a barrel at the end of the London day. Qatar's decision came as non-OPEC countries such as Russia have become more influential in oil policy alongside Saudi Arabia, the largest producer in the cartel and also its de facto leader. Mr. Kaban said that Qatar's impact on OPEC production policy was small, which had influenced its decision to leave, but that it would still comply with coordinated oil deals among the global producers. still, it was his predecessor who played a crucial role in securing agreement in 2016 among producers inside and outside the cartel for coordinated production cuts that helped end a multi-year downturn. Mr. Gabi said that Qatar would still attend an OPEC meeting of ministries and ministers this week in Vienna as they dictate oil policy for 2019. It's surprising that Qatar is walking away from the seat at the table. It would be better to be there than not. So said Robin Mills, the head of Qamar Energy, a consultancy. Presumably, it is linked to the political dispute, but tons of OPEC members party to the dispute. So we're going to have to see where that goes. And very compelling, to say the least. Bear with me a moment here. I want to go over some other things as well. One second. And this relates to what's happening in Israel. Evidently, Israel is launching an operation to destroy Hezbollah infiltration tunnels. So it seems that Israel's army said today it had detected Hezbollah tunnels infiltrating its territory from Lebanon and launched an operation to destroy them, a move likely to raise tensions with the Iran-backed group. The surprise announcement came hours after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in Brussels over regional dangers, with both having repeatedly warned over the activities of Iran, Israel's main enemy. Israeli Army spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus said the attack tunnels were not yet operational. He declined to say how many were detected or how they would be destroyed. We have launched Operation Northern Shield to expose and thwart cross-border attack tunnels dug by Hezbollah terror organizations from Lebanon into Israel, Conricus told journalists. The area around the Israeli town of Metula has been declared a closed military zone, with the army distributing images of heavy machinery digging into the ground. All operations would take place within Israeli territory, Conrico said, though it was still the risk, or it still raised the risk of a response from Hezbollah, the Shiite militant group, with which Israel fought a devastating war in 2006. According to Conrico, the tunnels were part of Hezbollah's 2012 plan to, quote, shift the battlefield to Israel, end quote, and, quote, to conquer the Galilee, end quote, in a future. In 2013, the army acted on reports Hezbollah was digging tunnels but failed to locate any, he said. Following the 2014 war between Israel and Gaza, in which Islamist movement Hamas used cross-border attack tunnels to infiltrate the Jewish state, the army said it found that, quote, Hezbollah and Hamas share knowledge, end quote. And soon she began intensive work to prevent tunnels from Lebanon. The military has used various means to collapse or fill in tunnels from the Gaza Strip. There is no immediate threat to Israeli civilians, Conricus said, of the Lebanese front, noting that while the army has enhanced its presence in the north, it has not summoned reserved soldiers. That's what Israel said. He said that the military holds the Lebanese government responsible for all activities perpetrated in Lebanon towards Israel. Netanyahu said he had planned to discuss with Pompeo steps we are taking together to block the aggression of Iran and its proxies in the north, referring to Iran and Lebanon. Netanyahu has spoken of a sensitive security situation in record days without providing details, particularly after his defense minister Avigdor Lieberman resigned over a controversial Gaza ceasefire last month. Lieberman's resignation threatened to provoke early elections, but Netanyahu worked to hold his coalition together and is now clinging to a one-seat majority in parliament. The parliament had said that polls would now be irresponsible due to undefined medical threats. So we'll see where that goes. His comments were seen by some at the time as an attempt to save his government, with elections showing wide disapproval among the Israeli public of his handling of the Gaza flare-up in November. In a period of security sensitivity like this, it is impossible to reach to get right down to government, so he said. To view the situation there, Israel has carried out hundreds of airstrikes in Syria against what it says are Iranian military targets and deliveries of advanced arms to Hezbollah. However, a friendly fire attack incident in Syria in September led to the downing of a Russian plane by Syrian air defenses during an Israeli strike, which has complicated Israeli operations there. Russia subsequently upgraded Syrian air defenses with the delivery of the advanced S-300 system, which Damascus had said last month would make Israel think carefully before carrying out further how that works out, and see where that goes. So bear with me a moment. One second here. All right, I need to. Bear with me a second here. All right. Let me just quickly see. And this is important as we have a few minutes left now with regard to Ukraine. Ukraine raids the Orthodox churches with Russian ties. In the Ukrainian authorities yesterday raided three Orthodox churches aligned to Russia as political and religious tensions between the two countries grow. Police and security services also searched the homes of priests who have declared their allegiance to the Russian branch of the Orthodox Church, regional police spokeswoman Alva Vashchenko advised. The Ukrainian Orthodox Church was recently granted independence from Moscow in a controversial filing or ruling that prompted cheers from Kiev but anger in Moscow. The neighbors have also clashed in recent days after Russia seized Ukrainian ships and sailors in the Sea of Azov. The first open incursion military conflict. So very, very frightening. And that's what's happening over there. The Orthodox Church in Ukraine is divided between two main branches, one of which pledges loyalty to Moscow and the one Filaret that Moscow does not recognize. The French was a decision that the government made, and there we sit. So let's quickly look to see what else is happening in the news. Bear with me a moment here. Okay. All right, so we have a moment. Let's quickly take a break and find out what's happening at the Yonkers Tribune, and then we'll be right back. Here. Okay, I want to go back to the studio. There we are. Let's find out what they're doing at the Westchester Broadway Theater, and then we'll be back. Bear with me a moment. Oh, something happened here, but that doesn't make sense. Let me just quickly look to see. Okay. yeah, we're okay. Just thought that maybe there was a problem here, but evidently not. So, okay, because the studio said weird things. Let's just see where we are now. Okay, Phantom of the Opera. Let's see if we can, Phantom, let's see if that plays. No, evidently not. So just bear with me. Okay, well, it seems that there was some sort of a glitch here on our studio screen. So I don't know exactly why that happened, but evidently it did. So hopefully we're okay. And we'll find out very shortly if everything is all right, because we're expecting a call from Delpha Musler. Let me just check one other thing here. Well, I think we're all right. It's just that for some crazy reason, it's not showing up. Okay, so let's just see, and let's hope that everything is all right. We'll check. We'll check in a minute. Just want to see what else there is here and if there's anything else that we need to look at. Let me just see. I think that we're really covered on all of this. I think we are. One more second here. I want to see if anything special is happening in Europe. Turns out that Britain can legally revoke its Brexit according to a European Union court, but I don't know if that's going place. So, but it's, you know, it's interesting, but I don't think they can back off at the moment. So we'll just have to see how that goes. All right, we have a little bit of time. And we're going to, I'm going to await a call from Delphin, and he should be calling in about another 2 minutes or so. And let's hope that he's on and that everything is okay. And I want to check one other thing here. It could be very interesting to talk to him in a moment. All right. All right. So I think we're fine here on many fronts. We'll just have to see how things work out, and hopefully it'll be okay. So it looks like we're all right, and I just have to wait for Delphin to call, and he usually calls on time. So we'll really get a sense of if we're functioning out there or not. I don't want to start talking about another issue because we won't be able to finish it. But one thing I'd like to discuss with Delphin is there was a great deal of uproar. Maybe it's just a little bit of consternation on the part of some people with respect to the city council voting in the majority, meaning at least 5 votes to 2, which is what it gained, in order to allow both the mayor as well as all the city council members to run for a third term. In other words, term limits were extended for another term, another 4-year term. And then there was the promise of that there would be actually a petition signature drive to try to stall or undermine this effort, which was approved. And had to be a minimum of 5% of votes that were gathered for a governor. The voting for the governor. And but 5% would have probably amounted to either 4,000 votes or 4,000 signatures that had to be tallied, or that's if you use the certified numbers that came out of the last governor's race, which was 4 years ago, as opposed to this year, where the governor actually got more votes in support of his reelection. And so that's a higher hurdle. But because these signatures have to be tallied, the way I understand it, they want to get all those votes collected. That's what Chuck Lesnik told me yesterday when I called him. They want to bring it all together by the 7th, and I don't know what they need to do because supposedly the deadline is to present it on the 20th of December. So I guess they're going to present it both to the city, the Yonkers City Clerk, as well as the Westchester County Board of Elections. So I don't fully understand how that's going to work. Well, I see that, again, we're having problems because we're not getting a hold of I know what I think I can do. Bear with me a moment here, because I think I may just need to do something here. And let me see if I have the number, because maybe I can call out. All right, we're going to have to figure this out in a moment. All right, so just bear with me a moment. We're going to get there. Okay, I think that we're reconnected. We're going to find out in a moment. And so thanks for hanging there with us. And hopefully, I need to see the screen go live. Oh, there he is. And it looks like Delphin's already on. Bear with me a moment as I try to pull him in. Bear with me a second. Okay. Well, it's taking a little bit of time. I wonder if this is a Blog Talk Radio problem. Goodness. Well, let me see. I know Delphin is hearing me, so let me just see what I'm going to do. Delphin, if you don't mind, I'm going to disconnect you from the number, and so please hang up, and I'm going to dial you myself. Let's see if I can disconnect this and see if we can go from there. Okay, I'm going to try to dial him up. Otherwise, I think we got a real problem here today. But it seems to me that it's a Blog Talk Radio problem. I don't know why that happened. Okay. Let's just see. Hopefully, we're dialing away. And we'll see what happens. Okay. This is really the weirdest thing in the world. Amazing. It says we're streaming, and yet it's not functioning for some crazy reason. Oh, my goodness. Well, let me just see if I'm doing something else. Okay. All right. Maybe this time it will work. I'm going to try this one more time. Otherwise, I'm not quite sure what to do. Don't want to be insulting to our guest. And hopefully this will ring. Right, let's just see. Can't believe the system at times just drives me insane. It says that it's dialing, but I don't see it dialing. I have no idea what the problem is here, folks. But evidently, it's down. So, what I'm going to try to disconnect this, see if it's canceling the phone dial out. I tried one more time, and let's see if it works. Oh, it's truly amazing. Not functioning. It's that simple. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to. So it seems that we're connected, but I don't see it yet taken onto the screen, so I don't see that yet. And okay, now it looks like it shows the screen. Let's see if I can dial out for Delphin. Bear with me a moment, and hopefully it will work this time. Apologize to all our listeners, that's for sure. And okay, let's just see if I can get that done. My goodness. All right, that looks like it's correct. It says that it's going to be dialing. We'll see if it does. Then we'll see. Even though it says it's dialing, it doesn't look like it is. So evidently it's not ringing at the other end. Okay. And I just got through on the telephone line to him, so I know that his line is working. But there's evidently a problem at this end. My goodness. We haven't had a problem with Blog Talk for months and months now. So it's very disappointing that these things happen. All right, I'm trying it one other way. Unbelievable. Okay, it's just not going through, and I don't understand why. All right, nothing I could do about this. All right, so what we're going to do, in case you hear us, but we weren't able to get a hold of Delta Musler, the publisher and editor of the Yonkers Insider, I apologize for this problem. I don't know what the problem is. Please, this will be rectified and see how it goes. But my apology to all our listeners. We're not going to continue the balance of the broadcast. And then what I'll do is also, I'll call up Delphin right now and apologize to him because it doesn't look like we're going to be able to go on. So all the best. Let me just check, because I think that's what I realized before wasn't working. Yeah, usually we can play our audio clips, and they're just not working. So because they're not working, that shows there's some sort of problem at the Blog Talk Radio platform. I don't know what it is. All right, all the best. Have a great day, and thanks for being with us today. Goodbye.